Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
I need to confess something to you this morning, something that I don't like to admit. I, in fact, have emotions. No. And sometimes they actually have an effect on me. There have been times in my life where I thought I was going to fail at something, or I had failed at something, I had screwed something up, and the emotion of that failure became almost crippling. And there have been times when I have been in the middle of arguments and frustrations and been so annoyed and so angry and so frustrated that my brain stops processing other sides of the argument. And there are even times when I can see the other side of the argument, but the emotion can be so strong that like everything inside of me screams, no, you can't admit that thing is right or that thing exists because you're right and this is the situation. And it ends up sabotaging a lot of conversations, and it has ended up sabotaging different parts of my life. And so I have this range of emotions, and depending on what it is, fear or frustration or depression or anger or whatever, they have an effect on me, and they can end up sabotaging and crippling me. And I know that's not unique to me, okay? This isn't some kind of therapy session for me. But I need to admit that to you so that you understand that I understand. And God understands. Because in the book of 1 Kings, I think it's chapter 19, there's a prophet named Elijah. And he's in this situation where the whole country of Israel has just abandoned God, and they're worshiping this false God. And finally, he feels like he's the only guy following God anymore, and he goes and he challenges all the prophets of Baal to this challenge, and he ends up proving that he is right, that God is God and no one else is. And he's there and he has this massive victory, and it proves that he's right and everybody else is wrong, and he's vindicated in that. And then the king comes along, and the king's wife comes along and says, I hate you, I'm going to kill you, you better start running, because if I catch you, you're dead. And he runs. And he runs and he runs and he runs and he runs, and he gets to a place and he's exhausted, and he says to God, God, I'm the only one doing it right. I'm all alone in this situation. I just kill me now. Just kill me now. And as we look at this story, and we look at that story in 1 Kings, we see that Elijah, this prophet of God who has had this massive victory for God, is dealing with fear and anxiety and depression and thoughts of suicide. He's lonely, he's confused, he's not thinking straight, he's being irrational, he's avoiding things, and he's in the middle, the heat of the moment, and it's just totally overwhelming him. And for many of you, I'm fairly confident that I can say that many of you understand many of those emotions. Some of you, that's just your daily struggle. You don't know exactly why, but you wrestle with those thoughts and you wrestle with those emotions. Others of you, things are going sideways at work, or you're just not sure how things are going to play out economically with your finances. You may be in the situation where things are getting really complicated and you're feeling just all sorts of things about your marriage. You may be scared or frustrated with your kids. You may be looking at politics and the economy and wondering what's going to happen next, and you look to the future and all you feel is fear and worry and anxiety. You find that you're overthinking. You can't get the thoughts out of your head. And then those emotions and those feelings, they bleed into other areas of your life where you're worried about work and you're worried about money and you're not worried about your marriage, but you end up bringing that worry into your marriage, or you're frustrated with work or you're frustrated with your marriage and you bring that into how you deal with your kids or whatever. But our emotions kick into gear and they start driving us. I get it. God gets it. Elijah gets it. You get it. And Jesus gets it. When we look at the story of Jesus in the New Testament, in the gospel stories, in the gospel accounts, we see that Jesus went through many hard things as well. We see that he was betrayed by one of his closest allies. One of the 12 inner circle betrayed him. We see that his good friend Lazarus died. We looked out on the crowds of people who were sick and lost, and it says that he felt like a mother hen and just wanted to gather everybody together, bring them home, fix everything. And he saw all these people hurting. And at other times, he walked into the temple and he saw people there. They were just trying to make money off of the system. And he got this rage, this anger, this fire. And he goes in and he starts grabbing tables and throwing tables. It says, actually in the Gospel of John, that he took some rope and he braided it together and he made a whip. And he was whipping these guys out of there. Tell you right now, that story isn't Jesus going, "All right, everyone, now I've got this whip, so everyone get out." No. Jesus was angry. Man who had worked with his hands all his life. Carpenter or mason, depending on the translation, learned the trade from his dad. He walks in, sees these guys. He's like, "That's enough." You see that before he goes to the crucifixion, they're in the garden, and he asks his buddies to pray for him. He goes off and he prays, and it says that his sweat was like drops of blood. There was so much pressure on him. And there's actually a condition where you can be so stressed that you actually sweat blood. Jesus had this range of emotions. But we also see that he threw the tables and he cried when Lazarus died. You see that he begged God, that he was sweating, that he confronted people, that he acted on some of his emotions, and that at other times, his circumstances clarified his emotions. We see in Jesus and how he managed the people around him and how he dealt with circumstances was that he didn't allow his emotions to drive him, but he expressed his emotions. And whenever those emotions get heavy and get overwhelmed, he sought clarity from God. See, we all deal with emotions. All of us. We all deal with emotions, and we all have the propensity to be overwhelmed and be controlled and manipulated by our emotions. And sometimes we have either gone to the route that we just say, well, I'm just going to go with whatever emotion I have, and I'm just going to lean all into that, and that's going to drive my life. And then there's others of us here who have said emotions are stupid. I'm not going to have any emotions. That's that. Amen? Raise your hand if emotions are dumb. I know there's a leap. Yep, thank you. Thank you. The reality is that when we look at the life of Jesus, especially compared to someone like Elijah, who allowed his emotions to come in and drive him and overwhelm him and cripple him, Jesus instead felt these emotions, worked through them, got clarity on what was causing them, and knew how to express them properly. He was aware of his emotions, he expressed his emotions, and he had a well-developed and high-priority practice of talking with God about them. This is what it says in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. It says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He didn't just run off and hide. He withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We know in Deuteronomy, early in the Bible, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. No, 4:29, sorry. Getting all mixed up here. Deuteronomy 4:29. It says, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. In Jeremiah, it says something very similar. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When we look at the story of Elijah, and he's there and he's overwhelmed with his emotions. God calls him. He says, all right, dude, I'm going to give you some bread and I'm going to give you some water. And I'm going to let you sleep. And then he lets him sleep and then he gives him more bread and more water and says, all right, you're rested, you're fed, you're watered. Now I want you to go meet me on the mountain. And Elijah goes and he goes on the mountain and he's there and he's hiding in kind of the cleft of the rock. And he's there and he's waiting and hearing God. And after he settles down and he listens for God and he is able to hear God speak to him, God clarifies the situation. God lets him know that he's taking care of the situation and that God has a plan. And it's only after that that Elijah goes from being hysterical to being focused again. What am I getting at here? What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that healthier emotions are the result of more honest conversations with God. Healthier emotions are the result of more honest conversations with God. Why with God? Why honest conversations? Because he clarifies it. He clarifies, he shows you what is causing the emotion, he shows you what's really going on, and you get to go to him and say, God, this is happening in my life, this is what I'm feeling, can you take care of it for me? When Jesus was feeling burdened, he went to God and he prayed and said, God, this is what's going on, can you take care of it? He didn't try to solve the problem himself. He went to God and said, God, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling angry. I need you to provide comfort. I need you to provide healing. I need you to feed these people. I need you to change these people. I need you to get me through this trial that I'm into. Elijah's there and he's talking to God, and God is able to say, Elijah, snap out of it. You're not the only guy. I have a plan. I'm going to take care of you, and I've got somebody to take over for when you're gone. How many of you have ever seen How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the Jim Carrey version? Okay? There's a part in that movie where he's alone in his cave, and he's angry, and he shouts something out, and he's talking to his echo. And he's talking to his echo, and he gets mad at what his echo is saying back to him, and he figures he can trick it, and he says, all right, I'm going to say I'm an idiot, and then it's going the echo is going to say I'm an idiot, but the echo comes back and says, you're an idiot. Folks, when we have emotions and we keep them in our own heads and we keep them to ourselves, it's just like that. We're just talking to the echo. And the solution is we've got to have that honest conversation, and not just venting to God, but listening to him, that honest conversation with God. Here, this is the thing, and you've got to remember this is really important. Emotions are like farts, folks. Emotions are like farts. Yeah, there's a few that need to be suppressed. There's a few that you can sneak out in public. There's a few that will catch you off guard when they come out. There's a few that you've got to only let out in private. But they've all got to come out. They've all got to come out. Keeping it inside. Keeping it inside. Talking to yourself is not going to solve the heart problem of your emotions and how your emotions overwhelm you, cripple you, and sabotage you and those around you. If you want to have healthier emotions, you get that from having a more honest conversation with God. That's why Jesus didn't just go away to a lonely place and sit alone. He went alone away to a lonely place and prayed. And prayer is not simply venting to God. Prayer is a conversation. God wants to speak to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to clarify things. He wants to reveal things to you. He wants to help you make sense of things. He wants to show you things you don't understand and you don't know. And he wants to feed and fill you. When you're feeling scared, he wants to show you that he is protecting you. When you feel alone, he wants to let you know that he is there comforting you. When you're scared about the future, he wants to show you that he is providing for you. When you're confused, he wants to show you with clarity what's really going on. But if you're suppressing the emotions, if you're just keeping them to yourself, if you're hiding them, if you're saying they're bad or they're not good or I can't admit to feeling that way, even if you're angry with God, even if you're frustrated with God, even if you got this hatred towards him, just read the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Read through the book of the Psalms. The men and women in the Bible, not everybody, but there are a number of people in this book who give us very clear examples of what it means to have that honest, raw conversation with God. And as a result of those honest conversations with him, he was able to fill their hearts. He was able to clarify their hearts. He was able to get the emotions out, processed, and they were in a much healthier emotional state afterwards that allowed them to move on and actually enabled them to be more effective. Jesus didn't just get his emotions out and suppress them. He got them out, but got them out in a way that was effective and influenced people. He still threw the tables. What we need are healthier emotions. But that's as a result of a more honest conversation with God. So this is my suggestion to you. Number one, I encourage you all to become more self-aware. Just take some time. Take the time to reflect on the emotions that you're having. Acknowledge them. Admit that those emotions exist in your life. Don't pretend they're not there. Admit them. Admit them. Number two, you need to be able to express your emotions honestly. You need to express them to God in prayer and hear from him, but there are also times in your life and how you live your life that you need to be honest about your emotions and you need to express them in how you deal with people and how you talk with people and how you live your life. You need to see the needs that you have in your life and you need to bring them to God. You need to go to God to provide for your marriage, for your kids, for your finances, for your home, for your car, for politics, for our future, for our families. We need to go to him and ask him to provide. And most of all, we need to seek God with all of our heart and soul. Because when we seek him, we'll find him. And he'll heal our hearts. And he won't get rid of the emotions. But he'll make them healthy. The worship team's going to come up, and we're going to do another 2-3 songs here. And as we do these songs, whatever is building up inside of you. Whatever emotion is kind of driving you or stuck or that you've pushed down and suppressed and you don't want to admit it to anyone or you don't want to admit it to God, this is a fantastic moment to acknowledge those things and be honest to God about them. If you want to see a change in your heart, a change in your emotions, and a change in what your emotions do and the effect they have on you and those around you, you got to be honest. And you got to be honest to God with them. Because healthier emotions are a result of more honest conversations with God.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.